Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, September 26, 2021. Pastor Paul Talbert.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
The day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Our reading is taken from Mark chapter 9. They went on from there, passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know this because he was teaching his disciples. He told them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. But 3 days after he is killed, he'll rise." They did not understand the statement and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent because on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he will be the last of all and the servant of all." Then he took a little child, placed him in their midst, and taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not just me, but also him who sent me." So far, reading, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The disciples were going on their way. It's just like last week, going on their way. And what happened? Well, Jesus starts talking about some really deep stuff, really kind of scary stuff. He's going, and it leads them to think, man. And they start to jockey around for a position. Who's going to be the top dog when the whole thing is all done? So here's Jesus letting them know, I'm about ready to suffer things that you can't even imagine because of your sin. And what's happening? Well, they're having a fine old time because they're, you know, they have certain expectations that they're going through. We have the same thing that goes on in our life. We have expectations that we have about God and what he should be doing in our lives. How often haven't you thought, oh God, if you're God, how come all you letting all this stuff happen to me? God, I know that you're all glorious, but why in the world does your Christian church on earth look so defeated all the time? I know that there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands of false teachers, because I can read my Bible. I know what they're saying. It's not true. You're letting them go on and on and on, and people are flocking to them, and the cash is just pouring in, and they get all these popularity things, and your church, from generation to generation, is really struggling, Lord. I don't get it. I can't wait until you do something. And we have all these expectations of God, and we forget what he is all about. Sometimes we forget a long time, sometimes we forget a short time. And so when you go back to the Bible and you look at how Jesus taught his disciples, we can be really, really encouraged. His disciples had been in an intensive, round-the-clock, 3-year confirmation training session. They had been in that session, in a confirmation class with Jesus, the master teacher, who knew exactly the best way to teach. And after all this time, they missed. Now, in our confirmation class, you're like in 7th or 8th grade. So if someone says, well, what grade are you in? and you're able to whip off Luther's small catechism, well, they know you must be seventh or eighth grade. Here's these disciples. You would expect them to be, out of the seminary. No. What would you put them at? Maybe kindergarten level? Because they're all talking about me. Who's going to be first? Can't you just hear Peter say, I'm going to be top dog because, after all, I'm the one to correctly point out last week. Remember last week? I pointed right to Jesus and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm the one that said that. Then you can just hear Bartholomew say, yeah, but that same Jesus turned around and called you Satan. And then while they're arguing, you just hear James and John saying, well, we're fishermen, and he called us personally as we were walking along, and we left everything and followed him. You can just hear them arguing, bickering like a little kindergartner on the playground. Who's the top dog? Who's the top dog? And Jesus is pouring out the plan of salvation. And they missed it. So then Jesus does this amazing thing. After a deeper study of this over the last couple of weeks, I found something I had not seen before. It's an amazing little thing. We're told that Jesus took a little one and put him in their list. So he gave him a hug or her a hug. We're not told if it was a boy or a girl. We're not told. But then he places his child there and says, if you want to be great, here's what to do. All my life, I had always thought, well, that's just the little child. That's all it is. But like most of God's word, it's so much deeper. The Christ, the Messiah. Remember last week? You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. The Messiah takes this little one. That's the word that's used in the Greek, little one. And it's not a demeaning word. It's not a put-down word. It's not like, you're a little one. It's a term of endearment. It's like instead of calling someone father or mother, you call them daddy or mommy. That's the kind of thing it is. It's a term of endearment, a little one. And it lets you know that they know you. And they know you really well. They know you well enough to call you by your nickname. In our school, there's a young man whose nickname is CJ. There's a girl whose nickname is Ellie. Those aren't her real names. That is not his real name, but that's her nicknames. And you call them that because now you're putting them down, but you're letting them know, I know who you really are. You're a really neat person. And I really do care about you, so I use your nickname. So when Jesus took this phrase, little ones, and he takes this little one, at first I thought he was only talking about this child until I looked at the other six times that God uses this phrase. When the Messiah uses the phrase, little one, he's definitely talking about an endearment that he has. It's the same phrase he used right before he died when he said to his disciples, my little children, I'm going to be going away. And you're going to look for me. You're not going to see me. And you're going to be sad. But don't stay sad, because you're going to see me again. He called him the same phrase, little one. When the Messiah calls you little one, he's not putting you down. He's saying, I know who you really are. In your heart of hearts, I know who, and I really love you. And not only that, this phrase is also used when you're talking about the Messiah protecting his people. Protecting and defending them. And guess what? That has overtones of he's protecting and defending us. Is the Messiah capable of doing that? Yes. Well, that means what? On the last day, I'm going to be with him in heaven. And it's all wrapped up in that little phrase, little ones. What an amazing God we have. What amazing words we have. And he takes this child, this little one, and he puts him right there, gives him a hug. Stands him right there so the disciples can see who he's talking about. And he says, you welcome him. and you welcome me. Well, Jesus just showed them how to welcome, right? Jesus chose this little one. The little one didn't come running to him. Jesus, we're told, chose the little one, brought the little one to himself, put him up on a pedestal so everyone could see him front and center. He says to his disciples, do that. Because when you welcome a little one in my name, you're doing that to me. You're bringing me into your life. You're standing me up on a pedestal. You're making sure that everyone knows that I am connected with you and you're connected with me. And then Jesus drops the bombshell. He says, not only that, but when you welcome me, you're welcoming the Father who sent me. What an amazing God we have. Doing something that people would just kind of gloss over, like, oh, taking care of a little child, taking care of somebody else, meeting somebody else, helping someone else understand God better. You think that's such a small thing. And God says, you're doing exactly what I did. And God the Father loves that. And God the Son loves that. The scriptures say it's impossible to love God without loving the Son. It's impossible to love the Son without loving the Father. And right here it is, again, front and center, when Jesus takes this little one. So what are you going to do about that this week? Last week, you know, with the finger pointing, and you understand, well, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah. Well, now what do you do? You and I are intimately connected with the Messiah through our baptisms. God says you can't get closer than that. All of your sin is gone. Heaven is your home. He's living inside of you. So how are you going to live? You're going to watch your mouth, right? You welcome people by welcoming them. You're going to open up your heart and your mind and help people see who Jesus really is. God in the flesh. That's great joy, great peace. In Jesus' name, that's how we live this week. For his glory's sake, amen.